All right, people, you can have a seat now. This crowd over here. All right. Amen. It's good. It's good. Really good. You guys look good out there. You look beautiful. In the words of Madea, you look beautiful. I'm elated to be here this morning. Just can we give a hand clap to the worship team just for leading us there? Pastor Brandon, you're awesome, man. Man, I was ready to get into a little dance. I was about to get it on, you know what I'm saying? Just getting excited about what God is doing. Really privileged to even be here in this room, that God is here. I'm excited for today's talk. I believe that it's more than just a sermon, but a message from God. And so I'm just, we're going to shoot forth and just go forward right away. If you could open up your Bibles to Mark chapter 16, Mark chapter 16, we're going to be looking at the resurrection story according to Mark. Mark chapter 16. And if you don't mind, can we all stand as we honor the reading of God's word? Just sorry to be old school this morning, but I just want to. Are you there yet? Say, I'm there. If you're not, say, hold on. Well, hurry up. Let's get it. Good. The scripture reads in Mark chapter 16. I'm going to start at verse 1. It says, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, the mother of Jesus, the mother of James, Salome, bought spices so that they might go anoint Jesus' body. And very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. And they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? I just want to read that one again. Who will roll the stone away? Verse 4 says, but when they looked up, they saw the stone. It was very large, and it had been rolled away. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Verse 6 says, don't be alarmed, the angel said. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. But I got good news for you. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go and tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you in Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Trembling and bewildered, the woman went out and fled from the tomb. And they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. This short few moments for the next 30 minutes and 25 seconds, I want to speak on the subject, the door is open. Let's pray. Father, would you speak to us? Amen. You can sit down. I pray fast. Now, this passage of scripture, I have to give you some background to set the stage right. Now, the writer, Mark, is someone who grew up in a Christian home right outside of Jerusalem. Mark was this guy who followed Jesus, who heard about Jesus' life from afar, and he was a mentee of one of the disciples in which we know as Peter. And so Mark, he wants to write a story of Jesus to the Roman Christians because the Roman Christians, they were suffering hard times, and they were going through rough times in their life, and they were suffering persecution. They were just facing life, and life was just beating them up. And so Mark wants to write an account of Jesus to convince the Roman Christians that Jesus is alive. Because the Romans, the Roman Christians, they started to live life as if Jesus was dead. You know how life hits us sometimes and we face hard times and we pray small prayers and we believe God for small things and we live life as Jesus is dead. So Mark wants to eloquently write a gospel to convince the people, to convince you and I that Jesus is alive. And I know you may face hard times and I know you may face trials in your life, but he wants to convince us that the tomb is open. You know, that large stone that served as a door to cover the tomb that was sealed with the Roman seal, that large stone that was a door is open. And because of that, our doors can be open. And as a result, we can knock on the world's doors so they can be open. You know, he wanted to convince us that the tomb was empty, that Jesus was not there. And he wanted to really persuade the Roman Christians that there was this Jesus who lived and who died, who suffered, and who now is living and sitting on the right hand of the Father. He wanted to convince the people Jesus is there. And so although you may face hard times, although you may face persecution, I want you to live as if Jesus is alive. And I believe that this passage of scripture serve as no better purpose in the time that we're in today, because it's so much the church. We face such hard times. We see so much going on around the world, and we begin to live as if Jesus is dead. We pray small prayers. We don't believe God for great things. We don't believe God for the 25,000 people who are lost here in our community. We pray for 300. You know, we pray for small things. And Mark wants to convince us today that we need to pray as if Jesus is right here in the building. I feel good, y'all. I feel good. So we're here. And if we can skydive into Mark chapter 16, we can see the scene. The setting is such a dark setting because, I mean, it was one of the darkest moments of, although the church wasn't officially established yet, it was a dark moment for the people of God. I mean, you think about Peter. I mean, you think about all the disciples and how they followed God and they left everything they had to follow this Jesus. And they put all their dreams into Jesus. They put all their hopes into Jesus. They put everything they had into Jesus, and the guy is dead. It must be depressing. It must be hard. It must be, they had to just be crying and weeping because everything they had was dead. Man, imagine you put all your stock into something and you lose. Point, disciples and the followers of Jesus, they felt like they lost because the guy was dead. They watched him be persecuted. They watched him be beaten to the point which you couldn't even recognize him. They saw how his womb, his side was an open womb, and you can hear that his lungs breathe in the air. They watched him as he breathed his last breath. They watched him die, and they watched their dreams die. They watch their future die. They watch everything they had die because they put everything into it. You know, my first year in college, I'm a huge University of Miami football fan. And my first year of college, they were playing the Ohio State Buckeyes, and I just want to say they are of the devil anyways, but I'm going to keep on. And so they were playing in the national championship game, and I was stoked because I was just like, yes, Miami's gonna win. And my freshman year of college, we had this thing whenever you go to school, you sign up for different meal plans. And so you can sign up for the unlimited meal plan, or you can sign up for the meal plan when you're on the budget, you know? You know what I'm saying? So I had the 20 meal plan. And so as you can do your math, there's 21 meals in a week. So I had to miss one meal, and everybody knows me. My life revolves around the three F's: faith, family, and food. You know what I'm saying? That's just what I do. And so I had 20 meal plans, and one of my friends, he was an Ohio State fan. He said, you know what? Let's bet. I said, what do you want to bet? We had a Christian school. We can't bet money. They said, hey, let's bet some meals. Done. I'm so confident in the University of Miami. I'm done. Let's do it. The guy says, hey, let's bet 5 meals. I said, no, let's raise it. Let's bet 20 meals. Done. So the game plays, and Miami's doing really good. They start off strong, and then the ref cheated the Miami Hurricanes. They cheated him, and we lost. And that moment of realizing 20 mils going in front of my eyes away. A whole week eating oodles and noodles. It was just, Lord help me. Because it's rough when you lose everything and when you put all your stock into something and then you lose. And the disciples, man, they felt like they lost. And so we're here in the text. Chapter 16, verse 1. Mary of Magdalene. A couple chapters back, we see that she was a woman who was filled with 7 demonic demons. They were there and they were tormenting her, and she was freed by Jesus. And she is one of the first ones who discovered the empty tomb. I mean, isn't that amazing? You think about it, because God had been planning this day since Genesis chapter 3. Thousands of years back, he'd been planning this day, and there's people who plans events, and you plan everything with an event. You plan the temperature. You plan the setting. You plan everything with this event, and God had thousands of years to plan this one day, and he chose Mary of Magdalene to discover the empty tomb. Wow. I mean, Mary of Magdalene, he chose her to discover it. He could have chose Moses. He could have chose Elisha. He could have chose some of the disciples. He could have chose Noah. He could have chose all these men of God, but he chose Mary of Magdalene. I think he wanted to communicate something to us. He wanted us to know that his empty tomb was made for people like you and I. Who has issues, who has mistakes, who falls, who trips, who are attacked, and who has scars, and who's beaten up by life. You know, with this story is such an awesome story because it gives us a revelation. It gives us an image of God, how the door was open. And we have here a door, and we see here the image of a door, and we see how whenever we look at doors and we look at how that huge stone that was there and how it was open, it gives us a revelation of how God wants to open the doors in our lives. Because the revelation of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it opens a certain doors in our lives. And I believe that it was giving us a spiritual act of what happened in Exodus chapter 12. Whenever the people of Israel, they were in bondage. They were going through hard times, and they were slaves. And God told them to mark their doorposts, to mark it. And once the night is over, you can walk through your door as free people. And I believe that Jesus and his resurrection, he causes us to walk through doors as free people. He causes us to dream again. He causes us to pray for the big things again because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now the Bible says, Mark chapter 16, now when the Sabbath day had passed, Mary of Magdalene and mother of James and Shalom brought spices. They brought those to have Jesus have a proper burial. And they came and they anointed him. And verse 2 says, very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. Verse 3 says, and they said among themselves, who will roll the stone from the tomb for us? And when they looked up, they saw the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. The angel going down to verse 6 says, don't be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified, but he has risen. I want to talk about 3 things that the resurrection of Jesus Christ, 3 things that it does for us. first thing is this, is that it opens the doors for Jesus. We see that the resurrection, it literally opened, the tomb was open. And we see that because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that Jesus has all power, that we no longer have to serve someone who doesn't have all power, but we serve a God who has everything, all power, he controls everything. All power has been given unto him because of the resurrection. The second thing the resurrection does is it opens the doors for the church. We see that because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we get to walk through the door of freedom as they did in Exodus chapter 12. We get to walk through the door of the promised land. We get to inherit the things that God had promised for us. We get to believe God for great things. We get to dream again. We get to start businesses again. We get to do the great things that God has spoke on the inside of us. We get to see those things fulfilled. We get to walk through those doors because his door was open. We get to believe again. We get to see the great things again. Peter and the disciples and the people who have lost everything, they get to see now that Jesus has opened his door, they get to see that they get to walk through the doors and that they have been promised by God. The doors are open. You know, one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible is, and you found it in Acts chapter 12, is the story of how Peter, he was preaching the gospel and preaching the good news of Jesus, and he was arrested. And at that time, the people, they were persecuting the Christians. And so Peter was arrested, and he was there. And the other disciples, they gathered inside this small house, and they began to pray, God, would you please deliver Peter? God, would you please deliver Peter? And so in the middle of the night, right before his execution date, you know, right before the morning that he was supposed to be killed, God came in the form. God came in, and he literally took off all the chains off Peter, all the chains, everything. He freed him. And so Peter, he leaves the jail, and he goes to the house where they're praying, and he knocks on the door. He's knocking at the door. Some girl comes, and she recognized Peter's voice, and she's excited, but she didn't open the door. So she went back, and she told the people who were praying, hey, Peter is here. The prayers that we've been praying for, they're answered. The disciples, they didn't even believe her. And they kept praying. And Peter's, he's knocking at the door because he has to get in because someone might find him. See, I believe this, that some of us, some of the prayers that we've been praying, God has already answered. And they're just knocking at our door. And we keep praying and praying, and all God has said, I just need you to open the door. Because I opened the door when I rose from the dead and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And God has said, I just need you to walk through the door. And I even believe for the church of Cornerstone, even our church, even our local fellowship, I believe that God has us at the doorway at some incredible things. I believe that God has us at the doorway that we're gonna reach out to so many people. We're going to change lives, not because we're cool and not because of our programs or what we do here. It's because we serve a God who opened his door. So that we can walk through our door. Some of you, God's been stirring up to start ministries, start businesses, inventions, to reach out to certain people, to family members. And we are afraid to walk through the door. But God delivered us. So not only that we can inherit the salvation of the Lord, but that we can inherit the promised land that he promised us. Are we walking through the door that God has for us? My last point, what I really come to talk about today, is we see in the text where when Mary and some of the others, they were in the tomb, and the angel gave her some instructions. The angel told her to go and tell Peter and the other disciples. And that's why I want to spend the next 14 minutes and 38 seconds of our time. Go tell Peter. Could you imagine what Peter was going through at that time? I mean, we all know the story. Peter, he denied Jesus 3 times. I mean, if he was like any man I know, he probably felt all the guilt and all the weight. He probably was blaming himself for the death of Jesus. probably was depressed. He probably couldn't even face his wife, his kids, because of the disappointment. He was just there without hope. And the angel tells the people to go tell him. Go tell Peter. The angel just kind of singles him out. Go tell him that the tomb is empty. Go tell him that the door is open. Just go tell him. And so I think about Peter. I think about how many Peters that we're around every single day of our lives. People without hope. People who's suffered some disappointment in their lives. People who may be struggling, you know, students, classmates who've maybe going through a hard time, who may be suffering through bullying, college students, people who are just afraid about the future and undecisive of what they're going to do with their lives. Peters, hopeless, depressed, there. The angel says, go tell Peter. Go tell him that the tomb, the door is open. That he no longer has to be depressed. He no longer has to worry. He no longer has to be down and sad about himself. He no longer has to carry the guilt and the weight of the world because the door is open. The tomb is gone. Go tell him. And how many people and how many Peters do we know in our lives? And we're just there and we're not telling them that there's a tomb that's empty. That we're not telling them there's the door that's open for them. We're not knocking on Peter's doors and telling them that Jesus is not in the tomb. He's alive and you can have hope. Are we telling the Peters out there, Peter, I know you make mistakes. I know you got some cuts, some scars, some bruises. I know your past is troubled. But there's an empty tomb. I believe that. That's why we believe God here to do this simulcast service is because we want to go tell all the Peters of the world, all the people who felt like they're not worthy of the church, all the people who feel like they need to carry all the guilt and the weight of the world, all the people who feel like they can't dream again, all the people who feel like their dreams died with Jesus, all the people who feel like they can never be who God called them to be. We need to tell them, hey, there is hope. There is an open door. The angels asked Mary and others to be tour guides, to literally be a tour guide. They wanted them to go get Peter and the disciples, and they wanted to literally give them a tour of an empty tomb. They wanted to give them a tour of a door that's open. They wanted to give them a tour of someone that a Savior that has risen from the dead for them. They wanted them to give them a clear picture of a risen Jesus. How many Peters do we know? How many people who we face every day who just need some encouragement, just need some hope, that needs to dream again, may have suffered, going through hard times? I think about my wife. Think about Brittany, her just having a hard time as a kid and suffering so much abuse. Little girl there hanging out in her front yard, and some little small Assembly of God church decided to do a sidewalk Sunday school. And they opened up a second campus because they wanted to reach out to more people. And I believe that little small Assembly of God church help my wife, who was a Peter, who had no hope, who was scarred up, help her see an empty tomb. But there's hope, and there's an opportunity for a second chance, a third chance, fourth chance, fifth chance. You know, we've sometimes in life, we get so caught up, we forget about the empty tomb.
And we forget about all the Peters out there that surrounds us. And that's why we're opening up another opportunity for more people to come at this simulcast service. It's not because we want to be a big church, but it's because we know there's a lot of Peters out there who are in need of hope, need of a second chance, and in need of someone to give them a tour guide of an empty tomb. Let's pray. I want to invite the worship team to come up. Time. Lord Jesus, I thank you for who you are. Thank you for your presence. I thank you, Lord, for an empty tomb. I thank you, God, that you open your door so that we can walk through our doors, and so that we can knock on Peter's door, and that we can tell him that there's an empty tomb and there's a Savior that has risen for them. God, would you, there's people in here, Lord God, who just may be having a hard time, God, and they just need to be reminded that you are alive. And there's people in here, God, who needs to be reminded to be tour guides and to go tell Peter that the tomb is open. Lord, I pray that you just may touch us, Lord God. Lord, would you do something new in our lives today? And Lord, as we respond in worship, Lord God, I just pray that you just may touch us, Lord God. Lord, help us to dream again, to believe you for the things that we've been praying about. Lord, help us to walk through those doors, Lord God, that they're there and the answers to our prayers are knocking at the door. And we're just praying. God, would you please have your way? In Jesus' name, amen. I want to invite the prayer ministers to come up.